Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, and today we're taking a look at the minor prophets of the Old Testament and asking God to speak to us through His Word. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to day 27 of the Minor Prophets. We are continuing our study of Micah, and today's devotion is titled, What Does the Lord Require? John Phillips once said, Micah chapter 6, verse 8 has been called the greatest saying of the Old Testament. The context is Micah's pleading with the Jews to repent, and no statement could have been more calculated to bring home to them their dreadful shortcomings and desperate need. Our text for today is from Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 16. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, for the Lord has an indictment against His people, and He will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord? And bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, and to love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. The voice of the Lord cries to the city, and it is sound wisdom to fear your name. Hear of the rod and of Him who appointed it. Can I forget any longer the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is accursed? Shall I acquit the man with wicked scales and with a bag of deceitful weights? Your rich men are full of violence. Your inhabitants speak lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore, I strike you with a grievous blow, making you desolate because of your sins. You shall eat, but not be satisfied. And there shall be hunger within you. You shall put away, but not preserve. And what you preserve, I will give to the sword. You shall sow, but not reap. You shall tread olives, but not anoint yourselves with oil. You shall tread grapes, but not drink wine. For you have kept the statutes of Omri and all the works of the house of Ahab. And you have walked in their counsels, that I may make you a desolation, and your inhabitants a hissing. So you shall bear the scorn of my people. Notice the courtroom terminology found in the first part of Micah chapter 6. In verse 1, case. And twice in verse 2, indictment. All three words are the same Hebrew word, rib. This word is found 69 times in the Old Testament. 11 times it is translated as case. In this chapter, God drags Israel into court. John McKay points out that the verbs rise and press the case are singular verbs. The your in your voice is singular as well. So after the initial call to hear, which was a plural imperative, it's as though Yahweh turns aside to address and stir up His prophet to serve as prosecutor. In verse 2, Micah calls on the mountains to hear God's case against Israel. God's case can be divided into three sections. An appeal, that's chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Irony, in chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And declaration, found in chapter 6, verse 8. In chapters 3 through 5, God twice calls Israel my people. Even when God takes Israel to court over their sins, He is still loving and courteous. God's appeal includes a reminder of the redemption He has provided and the leadership and protection He has given. In verses 6 and 7, God asks a series of questions dealing with the subject of worship. How should a person approach God in worship? Notice in verse 6 that burnt offerings and calves are plural. When you approach God, you do not come with one thing out of your surplus, but with all that you are. Ironically, verse 7 states that God is not impressed with the amount of sacrifice, but with the attitude behind it. It's not even the cost of your sacrifice that matters the most. It is the passion in your heart for God. Verse 8 is a threefold declaration of what God wants from His people: to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Wiersbe provides this explanation. It was a personal matter that each individual sinner had to consider. His reply emphasized moral and ethical conduct, not religious ceremonies. Of course, we can't do justly unless we've been justified by faith and are right with God. You can see Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, and also Romans 4, verses 1 through 8. And how can we love mercy if we've not personally experienced God's mercy? You can see Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, and also Titus 3, verse 5. If we want to walk humbly with our God, we must first bow humbly before Him, confess our sins, and claim His promise of forgiveness. Look at Luke 14, 11, and also James 4, verse 10. The remainder of this chapter, Micah chapter 6, verses 9 through 16, deals with sin and its consequences. Israel had acted with deception in their business practices. God referred to their scales as wicked and their actions as full of violence. God's judgment would bring complete desolation. The people would lose everything they had accumulated. John Phillips writes, Micah warned that the wicked would be robbed of their health, that's verse 13, their hopes, verse 14, and their harvests, verse 15. They could expect little good from their ill-gotten gains. God's people were so lost in their sins, they chose to follow Omri and Ahab, two wicked men. Omri had founded Samaria. Ahab established demonic fertility cults that were now practiced in the southern kingdom. You can look up 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30. God would soon destroy Samaria and Jerusalem. The consequences of following evil leaders rather than godly ones would be total desolation. Some questions to consider. How does the court terminology in Micah chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 denote God's supreme rule and His right to judgment? In what specific ways can you do what God requires in Micah chapter 6, verse 8? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God.